I have the greatest planty present for you. It is the new download that I'm offering called the Ultimate Houseplant Pest Guide. Identify and eliminate the top 6 houseplant pests. I made this for you because I needed this download last year and I did not have it, and I want to save future pain for you in your future. So last year, I had a horrible altercation with whiteflies. I saw one little bug flying around my plants and I ignored it. And a couple days later, I noticed that I had an enormous swarm of whiteflies that had taken over my entire shelf of plants. It was miserable. It took weeks to treat. And it's because I was unprepared. I never want you to be unprepared when it comes to houseplant pests, and winter is the season for them. So I created the Ultimate Houseplant Pest Guide. It's a free downloadable 14-page PDF that gives you everything you need to know to protect your plants from mealybugs, scale, fungus gnats, thrips, spider mites, aphids, whiteflies, and more. It has general pest control advice, and then it breaks down each pest. It gives you clear photos and teaches you how to identify them, and then gives you step-by-step guides on how to treat with natural options, chemical options, and even beneficial insects. It's so good. So go ahead and download it now. It's totally free. You'll learn immediately from reading it, but you'll also have it for if you ever need to treat for pests, which sadly, it's not if, it's when you care for houseplants. Go to growingjoywithmaria.com/pest and keep your plants thriving, pest-free, and growing joy this winter with your free 14-page download. That's at growingjoywithmaria.com/pest. Your plants will thank you. So you might have seen my plant friend Chantel, founder of Channy Gray Home, pop off on Instagram over the last couple of years, growing her online following of plant lovers to over 500,000 on Instagram. But I have known her for quite some time, and I know that there is so much more to her than her Instagram follower count or even what meets the eye when you head over to her channels. So today we're diving deep into learning about the Chantel behind Channy Gray Home. We dive into how she has successfully grown a very large houseplant collection of thriving plants, how she manages pest control, how she manages having human babies alongside her plant babies, and so much more. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. Hi, plant friends. I'm Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants successfully and grow joy by doing so. If you're new here, welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome home. I am so excited to have this full circle moment with Chantel, a dear friend, Channy Gray Home. We've known each other for a really long time, and we actually talk about this in our interview, but we met for a very sweaty outing at the Botanical Garden in Phoenix a couple years ago, which we will tell you more details about in our conversation. But it's a full circle moment. She's been a listener of the podcast for a really long time and totally blown up and taken her plant passion into a full-time job. And it's so fun that I've known her as a listener for so long. And now she's a guest. Now she's a guest that we're doing a profile on. So cool. Before we dive into the conversation, if you have ever had houseplant pests, or if you are nervous about houseplant pests, and that's something we talk about in today's episode, please do yourself a favor and grab my new download. It's called the Ultimate Houseplant Pest Guide. Identify and eliminate the top 7 pests. It's a PDF you download, and it helps you identify and treat for spider mites, mealybugs, fungus gnats, aphids, scale, thrips, and whiteflies. And it talks about natural solutions, like more like pesticide solutions, and beneficial insects if you listened to last week's episode. So go ahead and grab it. It's linked in the show notes. And without further ado, here's Chantel. Oh my gosh, my long lost plant friend. I'm so happy to have you finally on Growing Joy. I only told you when we met in person, like maybe 2 years ago at this point, that I'd have you on. We had an idea for a whole separate episode, but timing is everything. Trust the universe. Yes. So excited to have you on the podcast here and now.
Yes, I am so excited to be here. It's all working out, and this is just going to be an awesome convo we're going to have.
Yeah. So, you know, we have to start out this conversation by talking about how we've been kind of longtime online plant friends. Yes. And I had to go to Phoenix, Arizona. Was it 2 years ago now?
Oh, time flies.
I think it was 2 years ago now, but I was in Phoenix, Arizona, so manic. I heard someone was like, I think it was you, was like, you have to go to the Phoenix Botanical Garden if you have time. Yeah. And I didn't have time because I was at a conference that I was producing another person's podcast at. But I reached out like so manically, like on a Sunday, I called the Botanical Garden and was like, I'm in town for 48 hours. Can I come and visit? And I got this like last minute interview with the educational director. And I think I just frantically DM'd you being like, I'm going to be at the Botanical Garden. Like, will you meet me and potentially record a few things for me? But also yeah. like we could get together. You were so gracious. You met me. I have never been sweatier. Like it was the sweatiest day of my life. I don't yeah. understand how you lived there for so long.
Yeah.
But it was so fun to meet. And we did the silliest reel. Walking around the gardens.
Yes, we did. And okay, what's crazy is I didn't realize that all happened like that for you. I didn't realize that was kind of like on the fly, something that got
oh my God.
Set up because it went great. It seemed so planned and well thought through on your end. And even oh my the God. Tour, it was awesome. I was just like a sponge, just
yes,
so much plant knowledge, just live right there. That was awesome.
I know, that was so fun. That sweet, I don't remember her name, but the director of the Botanical Garden gave us a private tour. And yeah, that was amazing, no matter how hot it was. Well, at least that means I still have my acting chops, that I was playing it cool, even though it was like 24 hours in advance, figuring out if these people could be there, being like, you were like, yes. I think you were like, I think my mom can watch the kids, I'll come over.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Can I say, I was like fangirling really hard that I was coming to meet you. I don't think you realize what a full circle moment that was for me, because my entire plant like existence, it all started with Bloom and Grow Radio. I remember struggling so hard with plant care in the very beginning, and I was looking for a podcast because I was starting to work out again and I was going on my runs. And I was like, I need a good podcast to listen to. And that's how I found you. So that was just a crazy moment when all of a sudden I was meeting you. And I get so sentimental and weird about this stuff, because now I'm thinking, even now being on the podcast, like, is this real life? This is just crazy.
As I'm just like crying over here. That's so beautiful.
I'm going to make myself cry.
I know, it is so wild, because with podcasts, you know, when you're an Instagram person and you're posting, you get to interact with your followers because they can comment on your posts. And when you're a YouTuber, you can interact with your followers because they comment on your videos. But yeah. there's no opportunity for listeners to comment on your podcast. So I frequently believe, even though I know I'm like the largest houseplant podcast, I'm like, is anyone listening to this? Like, who are the people on the other end of this podcast? Because we just don't have that interaction with our listeners the way other creators get to have. So it's always so special when I hear stories like that, because it makes me feel a little less crazy. So thank you very much. And this is very full circle. It's funny. I had typed in Channy Gray. I was looking for an email with you, and I typed in Channy Gray in my like email search box, and actually a review of the podcast came up, and it was a review that you had given, I think, because you had signed it like Channy Gray. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Are you serious?
In like 2018. Yeah. You had like been very kind and left a review for the podcast. And listeners, we love reviews for the podcast if you ever want to leave one. And so I was like, wow, we've been connected for a really long time. So this is very full circle. And
wow.
I love now that you are like this mega 500,000 followers on Instagram, this incredible, incredible educator, creator, so relatable, mom to humans, mom to plants. I mean, there's so many things I want to talk to you about today. But I think where I'd love to start is just like, how did you become who you are today? How did you grow, you know, this incredible, well, I know you just moved, but you know, the incredible house that you had, the incredible plant collection that you've created does not happen overnight. Like you said, you struggled with plant care in the beginning. So like, what did those first couple of years look like for you? And what is the succession, you know, the cycle of seasons looked like for you with your plant collection?
Yeah. Oh, in the beginning, it was a lot of, I can say death on you. Okay. This is kind of weird. From talking on in reels, I always say unalive.
Unalived. I know. I noticed that on your website too.
Yes, I always have to say unalive. Okay. That's going to be like a retrain on the brain for a little bit. Okay. It was a lot of death in the beginning, a lot of misleading information on Google. I swear I would spend hours and hours trying to understand what I'm doing wrong and why I'm doing everything Google is telling me and nothing is working. And I am the type of person that I don't like, this is going to sound cocky, but I don't like being bad at things. Like it really, yeah. I don't. I am so competitive when it comes to anything in life. And I didn't like that I wanted to do something and it wasn't working. Like it was driving me insane that I just was not having success caring for plants. And so I think I was fed up with Google. And that's when I was like, I'm going to look for a podcast. And then, like I said, that's how I ended up finding you. And so I would just listen to your podcast. And I felt like those gave me like the basis I needed to keep something alive. And then from that moment on, I just loved experimenting and seeing how different of thing or how like against the norm I could go with plants and experiment and try these new fun things. So the season, there were a lot of ups and downs. I would say my first plant, which is like, we're going to forget about all of the succulents that I had and killed. My first house plant was a fiddle leaf fig, and I swear that thing taught me everything that I know now because it was such a roller coaster. Like when it came to watering it, I would Google, how much do you water your fiddle leaf fig? And I remember something was like 4 cups a day. And
four, so yep.
Every day I'd go give it 4 cups and it like still wasn't happy. And then I started watering it more. And then one day had an explosion of fungus gnats. Then one day I go out there and there's like these white little fuzzy cotton ball looking things on it. And I'm like, what is this? Turns out it was mealybugs. So I learned about pest control in that season of Plant Parenthood as well. So I feel like it just taught me so much, but it was a challenge. I didn't realize how life-changing that care for that fiddle leaf fig was going to end up being because it truly kickstarted like this love for caring for plants and seeing them thrive and do well. So thank you to the fiddle leaf fig.
Thank you to the fiddle leaf fig. Do you still have it?
Yeah. Oh, I actually don't, which is very sad. Looking back now, I'm like, man, I wish I would have kept it. I ended up putting it outside and the heat got to it one summer and it just didn't make it. But I'm like, man, that would have been such a nice, sentimental, great thing to still have around.
Well, you've also moved. So I'm sure that there was a... So before your move, how many plants was your collection? And did you let go of a bunch of plants now to make the move or did you move them all?
So moving to this house, which was like almost 2 years ago, I probably had about 200 plants, I would think. And the move was so short. It was literally a 10-minute move. So I remember at the time, everybody like, oh, give us advice on how to move with plants. And I felt like I had no crazy like hack to doing it. I was only moving 10 minutes.
Yeah. You're like, put them in my car.
Yeah. Like it was super simple. So I didn't have to downsize or anything. Plus the house we were moving to was bigger. We had definitely outgrown our other house. So I wanted plants to fill the space. I definitely didn't want to get rid of any. But for this next move, and this isn't something that I feel like maybe would be relatable for everyone, just with plants being my job, I'm taking all of them. I don't want to leave any behind. And I know that's not like super realistic for everyone because we're literally taking a U-Haul just for my plants.
Yeah, I rented a minivan. We shipped our cars and I rented the largest car I could get. We moved in August, so I couldn't do a U-Haul because there was no... The plants would have died, like the plants would have totally fried. I saw you bought a heater for your U-Haul, but there was no like air conditioner. So we rented the largest minivan possible that you could fold all the seats down. And we had one carry-on suitcase. We shipped everything else. And it was just the plants, my bird, a carry-on suitcase, and me and my husband. And it was 3 days.
Oh, so you know. Oh my gosh. I didn't even think about that moving in the summer. Yeah, what could you even use to keep it cool in there? I mean, I was thankful. I was kind of throwing around ideas like with my dad and how cold is it going to get? I mean, I feel pretty comfortable. If it stays in the 40s, I feel like my plants would be fine. But I was worried about overnight because we are going to stay in a hotel and I'm going to have a bunch of plants in a U-Haul. And I'm like, the temperatures could get pretty low. I feel like I need to have some sort of heater and heating situation for them. So Fingers crossed.
It's going to make great content. However it turns out, it's going to make great content.
Yes.
In these seasons of having your plant collection ebb and flow, have you always been attracted to the same types of plants, or have your interest in different genera like changed as you've changed?
So I feel like what's changed a lot is 2 years ago, maybe I was really into like the rare stuff. Like I wanted the things you can't go get in the store, just all of the rare, very expensive, little tiny cuttings. Just I wanted that. That was so exciting. I couldn't go out to a grocery store or to a big box store without bringing a plant home. Like it was just my, I went through like a hoarding era where I just wanted all the plants, especially the rare ones. And it's so much different now. I honestly could care less about the rare plants. I just want something that I can watch grow and get nice and lush and full. And it could just be a golden pothos. And I'm happy with that.
I never quite got into the rare stuff, but I feel such an interesting shift back to like the golden oldies. Like all I want is pothos now. Like just what looks beautiful and is easy and pretty and like vines and trails. I think also because I just like installed this insane green wall, but that is interesting. And I totally also relate to that moment of time that your heart has opened to plants. And I remember going to dinner with friends and Googling the spot to be like, what's the closest plant shop to this dinner restaurant in New York City so I could swing by a plant shop first? Like that was next level plant addiction. But also you hit capacity. Like you said, you have 200 plants now. You can't be bringing home a plant every time you go to the grocery store, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, it's like you get to a point where everything is just doing great, and I don't want to disrupt the flow.
Have you ever noticed how the sound of meditation bowls at the spa or in a yoga class can instantly soothe your soul? Well, for the last 2 years, my home has felt like a meditation studio thanks to my Wind River wind chimes that I've hung on either side of my house. If you are looking to add serenity to your life in 2025 or maybe beat the winter blues, adding a Wind River wind chime might be the perfect, most joyful option for you. Every time I hear my Wind River wind chimes sing in the wind, it is an invitation for me to pause, take a deep breath, and find a moment of presence in the midst of a hectic workday. When I moved recently from New York to Florida, I literally did not feel at home until I hung my wind chimes at my new house. I was getting anxious at my new house because I hadn't hung my chimes yet and it didn't feel like home until they were there. They are not the clangy kind of grating wind chimes that you might hear in your neighbor's yard or at a garden center. Wind River wind chimes are the highest quality I've seen on the market. They're carefully tuned, beautifully designed. They come in a variety of colors, shapes, sizes, and sounds. And they make incredibly thoughtful gifts because you can actually engrave the wind sail with a special date or message, and you get a free engraving because you are a listener of Growing Joy with Plants. So beat the winter blues, explore the collection of wind chimes at windriverchimes.com, and use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout for a free engraving to add that special unique touch to your wind chime. You will not regret it. That's windriverchimes.com. Use code GROWINGJOY at checkout.
So kitchen gardening is no longer about growing food. It's really a lifestyle choice these days. And it's a unique way to show the world your commitment to the health of your family and yourself and your planet, reduce your food miles, and take control of what your family is eating. And in the new book, Kitchen Garden Living, by author and Kitchen Garden Society founder Bailey Van Tassel, Kitchen Garden Living guides you through the process of establishing a kitchen garden of your own, helping you with all the necessary steps to get your new garden started and holding your hand all the way through the harvest and beyond. So not only are you learning to set up your garden, you're learning how to best and effectively use it. So it's organized by chapters titled Plan, Grow, Tend, Make, Gather, and Connect, and Inspire. So it doesn't just go through the plan, grow, tend. She takes you through gathering, how to connect with your garden, how to inspire with your garden. The projects and lessons found here are designed to help you succeed no matter the size or location of your kitchen garden. In addition to designing and executing your kitchen garden, Bailey shows you how to eat and live seasonally and get your family involved, which I love.
This book is super inspiring. It'll be super supportive and bring a lot of value to your family and your community in ways you never thought possible. So go ahead and grab Kitchen Garden Living by Bailey Van Tassel at your favorite local bookstore, bookshop.org, Barnes & Noble, or amazon.com. Once again, that's Kitchen Garden Living by Bailey Van Tassel.
All 250 of the plants that I have currently are pest-free. They're all thriving. They're all living their best life. They've all got great sunlight. I feel like my mind just always thinks like glass half empty. Like I'm like, the next plant I bring in here can have some crazy pest.
The domino.
And it could be a yes. And I'm like, what if I don't treat it well enough when I bring it in? Because pest prevention is like my whole, I feel like, persona when it comes to plant care. I'm like, oh, what if I miss one and then all of my plants have it? And it's like, you wish you could get in a time machine and go back in time and never bring that plant home. So anyways, things are just very flowing right now and I'm content with what I have. I'm not looking to bring anything else new in. Yeah, I'm liking.
You mentioned pest prevention instead of pest eradication. I think when you have a large plant collection, that's so important that you're doing routine things to make sure that you don't have a pest infestation, because when the infestation descends, it descends. So walk me through like what that looks like for you on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis.
Yes. So whenever I do bring a new plant home, I always treat it as if it has some sort of pest. Like honestly, when you really get an understanding of what these plants go through before they get to you, and how easily pests do spread and how common they actually are. Like me living here in a desert, it's very dry. Spider mites are just everywhere outside. They probably come in on my dog. I find them on my outdoor plants all the time. It's a never-ending battle. So when you just realize how easily they spread and kind of where these plants come from before they were in your home, you just kind of realize your chances of having pests are really high. And I want plant care to be enjoyable. It is so stressful. Anyone would agree how stressful it is dealing with pests. And so if I can eliminate that as being a problem by preventing them in the first place, treating them as soon as I get them home as if they do have pests, and then I feel like that helps me in the long run because I'm not dealing with a huge outbreak and infestation, if that makes sense.
It's a peace of mind thing. Yeah, totally. So what does that quarantine look like when you bring a plant home?
I don't even quarantine anything. It's funny. After saying all that, then I just bring them into everything. No, every plant I bring home gets a repot, which is totally against the norm. I know, but everything gets a fresh repot. That doesn't mean I potted it up. Sometimes I actually pot it down. I give it the correct pot size that I feel like it needs. I give it some fresh soil. I add systemic granules to the soil specifically to protect against thrips because thrips are just the absolute worst. And then I give everything a bath with what is called plant soap, which is my plant soap that I came up with, which I'm so excited about.
Yeah, I want to know why. Why a plant soap of all the different things that you could make? That was such an interesting. I love your like spa day reels about it.
Yes, my spa days are my favorite. So that all came from my variegated Hoya compacta. It had mealybugs. I'm looking at it. I can see it right now. It had mealybugs. And I feel like that is the most terrifying plant to have a pest
on
because of the leaves. Yeah. Like it is truly impossible to clean and get in all those nooks and crannies. And so it had mealybugs and instantly my heart sank. Like this is going to take me forever to treat. I guarantee it's not going to be easy. There's, especially with mealybugs, they hide in every crevice. And I just remember thinking, I need to, like, I wish I could give the plant a bath. Like I want to soak it so that the water and whatever, it gets into all those nooks and crannies and gets the pests. And so that's when it kind of dawned on me. I was like, oh, I could give it like a bubble bath. I could put soap in, like make some warm water in my sink. I could put some soap in there and I could just submerge and dunk the whole plant. And then I think in the beginning, I called it my plant bubble bath. And it kind of started from that. Like it became addicting. Like it was so much fun to come and give my plants a spa day and like lift all of the dirt and pests and everything away from them. And it brought me joy to do. And I mean, it was also a form of pest protection and prevention. And it worked wonders on my Hoya compacta because it got rid of the mealybugs. And yeah, then that kind of spiraled into me creating my own soap And the rest of that's history.
I noticed your soap has some really interesting ingredients. Like, how did you go about creating the soap and why did you choose what you chose to put inside of it?
Yeah. So cinnamon bark oil and peppermint oil are both pest deterrents. And so that was a huge factor of adding that in there. And then the soap itself will not only when you're giving your plant a bath, the soap itself is going to lift those pests off of the plant, and then it's also going to drown them. So the baths in general are just great at lifting everything and then getting it off of the plant. Because a lot of the times, even when we spray a plant with like an insecticidal soap or something like that, sometimes like the pest will just fall kind of into the soil and then they'll end up just crawling back up if it didn't, you know, fully eliminate them. So I like the baths because it lifts them, drowns them, leaves them behind. And then it just seems to be much more effective in my experience.
And when you're doing your bubble bath, are you submerging the entire pot as well? So you're letting the whole, all the soil get saturated too? Or are you like upside down dunking it just so the leaves are in the bath and the soil remains out of it?
So I typically dunk it like upside down just because it can get really, it's totally safe for the soil and everything to go in, but it just causes kind of a mess that I don't want to deal with. So I'll a lot of times just wrap the pot so that none of the soil comes out or something like that. And I'll just dunk it upside down just to prevent the mess of the soil getting into the water and everything. But it's actually totally fine for the soap to come in contact with the soil in the roots. And there actually can be pests present in the soil as well. So it would treat those if you were to go that route.
Yeah, dish soap is often used to fix hydrophobic soil as well. Yeah. So if you have that compact soil, you could give it a wash in water. I love that. I was on your website and all your merch is so cute too. Your plant sweatshirt. I'm like, I got to place an order. I got to get me some cute plants merch and that soap.
Thank you.
I'm curious to ask, I remember meeting you and, you know, you telling me you have all your little ones and they're older now. So how did becoming a mom, like a human mom, change how you were a plant mom? Did you notice a difference? Like, has it changed or affected your hobby at all?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're both so parallel to each other. I feel like the way my kids grow and my plants grow is all a reflection of like the care that I give them. And so it's really just rewarding to see how, like, I feel like the biggest compliment you could ever tell me is like when my kids' teachers tell me, your kids are just the sweetest. They're so well-behaved. I'm like, that is music to my ears because that's all I want to do is raise children that just make this world a better place. And I just want them to be happy. And so I feel like this is going to seem so cheesy, but it's like the same with my plants. Like I love seeing them grow and mature, and especially over the years, which is one cool thing about what I do for a living is all of these plants are on video years and years and years. And I can look back and see the growth that they've had and how far they've come. And that just makes me really proud to see that with my own kids and with plant care, just to see the growth they've had from the effort that I have put into raising them.
Yeah, the nurturer. You're a nurturer. I think that's so real. And I also think plant people are such kind people in general.
Yes.
And so it makes sense that you are a very kind person. And so that obviously is a value that you instill in your kids and that you're so proud of. You talk a lot also about like, I feel like for you, when I think about you and your channel, it's DIY, it's your yes. insane bathroom and like easy plant care. Like you're all about making it easy, like the pest prevention instead of having to deal with the pests. Like, why is that important to you?
Yeah. So I feel like the moment plant care feels inconvenient is when it's no longer fun. And I don't ever want my plants to not feel fun. Like I truly enjoy caring for them. And so I feel like the more convenient it is to care for them, the more fun I have and the more it benefits me because I just, these plants are doing so much for me. Like nobody even knows, like my mental state keeping me busy. I have ADHD, so they keep me occupied and I need plant care to be convenient. And so I feel like my superpower is taking something that maybe isn't the easiest and making it easier. Like I truly feel like there's an easier way to do everything. And I feel like that's kind of been a mission that I've been on when it comes to plant care is what is the easiest we can make this not even just for me, but for everyone in general, because plant care can be an uphill battle for a lot of people as they're learning and going through their plant journey.
Yeah. I think it's like the saddest thing when I meet people and I tell them what I do and they're like, oh, I can't keep a plant alive if someone paid me. And it's like, of course you can. You just, there are probably just a few tweaks you need to make.
Yes.
So speaking of those tweaks, like what are your top easy tips, like for making things super easy that maybe you see people making it harder? Like what are some quick tips?
I think one would be buying the right plants. Like there are plants that whose soil can go totally dry, majority of them, honestly, aside from like calathea or fern or something like that. But majority of our house plants, like Monstera, ZZ, snake plants, philodendron, Hoya, they can go totally dry in between waters. And that means that they're not going to need your constant attention all the time. Like honestly, they're going to be fine for you to go on a week vacation and come back. And so I think choosing the right plant from the get-go, I definitely feel like calathea is one that stands out to a lot of people and they just feel so easy to bring home. And even for the most experienced plant parents, they can be kind of difficult because they require more attention. So I think picking the right plant from the get-go, growing plants hydroponically is one of the easiest ways to grow plants. You just change the water when it gets murky. But other than that, they can go months without needing any attention. So I think that's the biggest thing. And it's so simple too, because you're not dealing with buying soil and is it the correct soil and when do I water it? How dry do I let the soil get? You literally just leave it in water and they're happier than ever. So hydroponically growing is a huge one.
How much of your collection is hydroponic at this point?
I would probably say maybe 25% is hydroponic.
That's amazing.
And I like to keep hydroponic plants in areas where I don't go all the time, because a lot of times with plants, if it's not in my view or I'm not seeing it constantly, it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. So like in bathrooms, for instance, if I want to green up a bathroom, I'll put propagations in the bathroom. They tend to do better with lower light too. So it's just, that's kind of one hack, I guess, that I do to get plants in every room is I'll take cuttings and just put it in a vase and go put it somewhere. And even if I'm treating it like a bouquet of flowers, maybe just for the meantime to green up a space, I absolutely love doing that. And they most of the time grow great without, I shouldn't be saying this. I'm just thinking like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine. So like I'll have windowless bathrooms. And this is so bad to say because I always preach all the time, make sure you have light for your plants. Your plants need sunlight. Don't stick them in a corner. And now I'm like, oh, I'll take propagations and cuttings and I'll go put them in a bathroom with no windows.
No, but you said, I mean, I'm happy to cut this out if you want, but I think what you're saying is actually really important. It's that you can have plants for growth. You can also have plants for decor.
Yeah.
Taking cuttings of the plant that you have in the sunlight and then putting those cuttings in your bathroom with no sunlight actually is a genius way of bringing green into a room. And then you do just treat it like a bouquet. And frankly, the plants are going to last much longer than a bouquet.
Yes.
So I think that's a great way. Like if you're intentionally growing something to be temporary, I think that's totally fine. Frankly, I think it's smarter to do it that way, right? Because if you are a plant person and you want plants in every single room, realistically, you're not going to be able to do that. So yeah, putting them, you know, having the cuttings is super smart.
Yeah. So I love doing that.
Who of us hasn't killed a bunch of cuttings that we've forgotten about? I feel like that's part of being a plant parent.
Yes. It's been months and I'm like, oh, that hydroponic plant. And I walk into the room, it's dry and
oopsies. It's like shriveled and just like so sad.
Yes. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Are you a Lechuza Pond girl? Are you a LECA girl? What are you putting your semi-hydro plants in?
So I just will go straight water just because I think that's the least maintenance. And I've used LECA and I do have plants in LECA. I have a calathea in LECA that does great. That actually might be the only plant that I have in LECA now. Just because with LECA, I feel like it's just adding one more step to plant care. And it's not a huge step, but you do have to make sure that the LECA is flushed and that it's not building up salts and minerals and all of those things. And I feel like with water, you just don't have to do any of that. You just do a full change out and you're not dealing with kind of that one extra step.
Do you put nutrients in your water too?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's actually, I was going to mention that because what I've found is that if I'm adding nutrients to some plant cuttings or propagations and I have them in a windowless dark room, they can actually survive for quite a long time. They might not necessarily be thriving as much as a plant that's getting full sunlight, but just having those nutrients, I feel like, will definitely extend the lifetime for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense because the plant obviously needs the sunlight to make its food, but if you're boosting it with those micronutrients that it's getting from the water, yeah, that checks out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it makes total sense just to have cuttings in places where my mom does that all the time. You know, we just moved to Florida. My mom lives in Florida. So pothos grow like weeds out here, and she'll just go in her backyard, chop up a bunch of pothos, stick it in water. It looks like this amazing lush plant.
Yeah.
And she'll either pot it up or she'll like toss it in the backyard, go cut some new ones. And, you know, like she's very chill about it. And I think that's totally okay.
Yeah.
I love that.
I think that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This episode of Growing Joy with Plants is brought to you by Manucora Honey, also known as Honey with Superpowers, also known as my new hyperfixation, if you've been listening to this podcast for the last couple of months. I use it almost every morning to make my coffee so delicious. Manucora Honey is single origin, rich, creamy. It's so delicious. It almost tastes like caramel. And it's collected by bees that only feed off of nectar from the Manuka tea tree in New Zealand. That's what makes it so special, and that it has three times more antioxidants and prebiotics in it than your average honey. Try it for yourself, plant friends, and you'll get $25 off their starter kit since you're a listener of the podcast. So all you have to do is go to manucora.com/bloom. Manucora is spelled manukora.com/bloom, and you'll get $25 off your starter kit, which comes with an MGO 850 plus Manuka honey jar, 5 honey travel sticks, which are great for like a long weekend, a wooden spoon, and a guidebook. That's manucora.com/bloom for $25 off your own starter kit. This episode of Growing Joy with Plants is brought to you by my favorite olive oil company, Graza. So I'm Italian. I've grown up on really high quality olive oil my entire life. And I also have a husband who is incredibly picky when it comes to cooking ingredients because he's an amazing cook. And last month, he actually came home from the grocery store with a bottle of Graza olive oil. It's really cute bottle of olive oil. The design is really chic and pretty. It has a screw top, which we love, and it's so delicious. So when Graza reached out to me to be a sponsor, I was so excited because I've literally used Graza olive oil that morning to make my scrambled eggs the day that I got the offer for them to be a sponsor. What I love about Graza, it's top-notch, extra virgin olive oil that comes from high-end Spain, and it's at an affordable everyday price. Sometimes olive oils can be so insanely expensive, and this is really approachable for what it is. I also love that they have an eco-friendly refill can situation. So you get your bottle, you go through your bottle. All you have to do is order a refill can that comes with the exact amount that fits into the bottle and save a little waste. So Graza's hooking you up with 10% off your first order of any of their olive oils on their site. All you got to do is go to graza.co/Maria. That's Graza, graza.co/Maria. I would highly recommend getting their starter kit. It comes with 2 squeezy bottles of the olive oils that they have. So the sizzle is for cooking, the drizzle is for finishing. And then you also get 2 refill cans. So you get it all in one foul swoop and you get 10% off. So head to graza.co/Maria to get 10% off your Graza starter kit and get to cooking your next chef quality meal.
So you also, to me, when I think about you, like I said, you're the DIY queen. So how did you get into DIY? And like, how does your brain work that you're thinking about creating all of these different DIY projects? And also as you're moving, are you so excited to like have this blank canvas to do all your fun projects on again?
Yes, I am. So I think the DIY comes from, honestly, a lot of it is just my ADHD and not being able to sit still. Like I will just be, if for a brief second I'm sitting at home, I'm instantly looking around at what I can do. Like my brain never stops thinking like that. Like I will sit and just look at a room and I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm going to paint. And I'll just run to the store, pick up some paint. And then before you know it, everything's off the walls. I'm like painting. So I feel like I take it day by day. I'm a horrible planner when it comes to DIYs and stuff. That is all extremely intimidating to me. Like I just, am kind of a go with the flow. What am I feeling like doing today, spur of the moment, whatever inspired me that I was around. I feel like a lot of my home decor and things are inspired by the desert that I live in. I just love that whole color palette, and the sunsets here are just amazing. And I just love those earthy, warm, like pink tones and terracotta. And I just feel like plants pop so well off of it. And it's just like nothing makes me happier than to paint a room a color like that. I just feel like it complements my plants so well. And it makes me so happy.
Where are you moving? So you're in the desert. Are you staying in the desert or are you moving somewhere else?
We are moving to Iowa.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah, totally different world. I've spent my entire adult life here in Phoenix in the desert, but I'm from Iowa. So we are moving to be, we're going to be closer with my family and everything, but it's going to be a whole different world out there. So I'm kind of curious how my own DIY is going to go.
Yeah.
Just being in an entirely new world like that, because it's very different.
It's a very different color palette. It's a clearer, richer, not like dusty. I feel like when I think about an Arizonan sunset, it's like the dusty pink, the dusty terracotta. Like, dusty isn't the right word. I'm not good with colors and explaining them, but you know what I mean.
No, that is, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be so interesting. Do you have any like big DIY ideas for your new house?
Honestly, what I'm most excited about is just the sunlight that I'm going to have.
Those windows look insane.
Yes. I just fell in love. The second, this house that we live in now, and just houses in Phoenix in general, are built for keeping out the sun. Like, we live in a desert. They're literally designed to keep the sun out. So there's just a lot of extended patios. Most of the windows always have like sun, like screens on them to keep the sun out. So it's so hard to get good sunlight in here for my plants. Like, honestly, probably 80% of my plants actually have grow lights, which, being as I'm in a sunroom right now, my plant room is a sunroom, it's really dark. And a lot of people don't believe that I literally run all these plants on grow lights just because I don't get a lot of sun. So I'm looking forward with the new house just to having those big windows and not having to rely on grow lights for everything. And just finally get to grow some big plants. Like, I've really been craving growing like a big fiddle-leaf fig or just a big like rubber tree because I have the light for it. So I'm very excited for that. I think that's my first goal, is just to get growing some big plants, just kickstart the growth with all the windows.
It makes me think of that epic fiddly fig Hilton Carter had. Gosh. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah. He has a name for it. I can't think of the name.
Is it Figgy Smalls? Fiddly fig was named Figgy Smalls. I don't remember if it was his or if it was another guest I had, but it was that beautiful you. It was so epic.
I know.
I could totally see that for you.
Yes. Oh, I hope.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What does your husband think of your plant collection?
He loves it. Like, he really? Genuinely loves it. Living in the desert, things are mostly dead. Honestly, like, okay, I feel like me saying that is a disservice to all the plants out there that are surviving, like the cactus and everything that has to survive every day in that heat. But like, there's not natural grass here. It's not very green. And so me and my husband met in Iowa when he was playing basketball there at the college that we were both going to. And when we moved back here, I always ask him, like, do you like my plants? Do you like all these plants that I have? Is this crazy? And he always says, it reminds me of Iowa, where he met me. He'll say, where I met you, it reminds me of Iowa, where we met. And
wow,
I feel like that sounds so cheesy, but I think, yeah, it, and maybe that is why they grew on me so easily too, is because it does remind me of home, because it's very green and
yeah,
lush.
That's so full circle for you and your husband to be moving back. I didn't realize you're college sweethearts.
Yeah, we are.
That's amazing. Do your kids like the plants?
Yes. They're to the point now where I feel like there's so many of them and they've just been around their life so long that they're like boring. Like, it's just like, oh, plants, you know? And I'll get people asking me those questions all the time, like, or I'll have people comment on videos like, oh, you must not have any kids with all those plants. I'm like, oh, little do you know, these kids were raised around my plants. And it's just, you know, like any kid, they want what they can't have. And I feel like the plants are just so normal and so there all the time that they're not interesting to them. But they do love to take cuttings of them and grow them themselves. So if ever they're interested, I always include them. My son has some little ZZ leaves that he's rooting and he's super proud of. So yeah, they definitely get involved when they're interested and they want to be.
How old are they now?
They're 4, 6, and 8.
Wow. This is a great time to move, I guess, too, because they'll be going it all into new schools.
Yes, exactly. And that was kind of when the idea started of moving. We weren't expecting it to happen so fast, and it just kind of did, which kind of told us we were moving in the right direction. Like, there were no roadblocks. It was just crazy how everything opened up. And we were definitely had the kids in the back of our mind with, like, the younger that they make this move, the easier it's going to be on them too. So yeah, definitely just this timing worked out really good for us.
That's amazing. I have to ask, because I know that we'll have a lot of your followers watching and listening to this. I'm curious, like, what your experience sharing on Instagram and popping off on Instagram and, like, what these, you know, I feel like I blinked my eye and all of a sudden, you know, you have 500,000 followers. Like, what does that look like and felt like for you?
Yeah, it honestly still doesn't feel real, like, at all. Hearing you say that, it's like, it's so weird because I remember when I was first starting to grow and I would look at other people with follower counts like I do now. And I was like starstruck, like, oh my goodness. And then now that I'm here, I'm like, this is normal. I don't know. It's like, when is it ever going to kick in that this is life? It definitely kicks in when I am out and someone recognizes me or says hi. Or a lot of times I'll get home from being somewhere and I'll have DMs from people like, oh my gosh, I saw you today, but I was too nervous to say hi or something like that. I feel like moments like that, it really kicks in like, oh wow. I was with my kids one time in Vegas and someone had recognized me and came up to us. And my kids kind of even were like, how did that person know you, mom? Because they don't really understand social media.
Is mommy famous? Yeah.
Yeah. And then actually, I think they did go to school and say that. And I was like, no. It was just, so it was an interesting conversation to have with them because they don't really understand social media. They're not exposed to any of that. Yeah, it's wild. I can't believe that I'm here where I'm at. I never expected to be here. I started Shani Gray Home as a way to share my DIYs with our fixer-upper, with my family. It was never intended to be about plants, but as a former teacher, it filled a huge void when I was doing these DIYs, when I was getting people asking about the plants. Like, every plant I own is died. I don't have a green thumb. Can you teach me how to take care of the plants? It filled this void that I didn't even know I was missing, that teaching void. And it just like lit a fire and never slowed down. It's been so exciting.
That's amazing. I didn't know. What kind of teacher were you?
I was a second grade teacher.
Amazing. All right. Yeah. So that's about when you learn about photosynthesis, right? Or about like growing plants.
Oh, yeah.
So
you bet that was my favorite subject to teach.
In such alignment. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And what's the future? Like, what can we all continue to enjoy? And what might you be surprising us with in 2025?
Yes. I have some very exciting things with Shani Gray Home on my website. It's been so long in the making and I can't believe I'm actually finally going to be selling plants on my website. And I am over the moon because I have so many ideas for this. I feel like whenever anyone's shopping for plants, it's so confusing what plant is going to work in what space that you have. So I have this idea of offering plants for people and having all the different collections really geared towards like specific areas in your home to make plant shopping and buying an easier experience and less stressful experience. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And I cannot believe I'm even saying that that is a possibility.
Oh my gosh. Wow. And so yeah. Will you also have like the Hoya head collection and will you be like curating different collections that people can buy too?
Yes. Like I'm such a huge Hoya head, but also Hoya blooms are the most exciting thing ever. But not all Hoya bloom as easy as others. So I want to have an entire collection of like easy bloomers. And so I'm so excited for that. I love Hoya.
Oh my gosh. And you obviously have your plant soap. You have your amazing merch, which is so cute. Like I've said. So where can everybody find you if they don't already follow you and continue to learn from you?
Yeah. So on Instagram, I'm Shani Gray Home, Channy. Gray Home, Shani Gray Home. And then my website is shanigrayhome.com. And yeah, you can find all those goodies. And then another fun goodie are my catch trays, which I feel like when we're talking about making plant care easier.
Thank you for making them aesthetic. They're the catch trays that you can hang on to if you have hanging plants, which if you have a large collection, you need to have hanging plants. They're catch trays that catch the water when you water. Because when I had my macrame, I used to make my own macrame hangers, and watering those plants was so annoying to get them in and out of the hangers.
Yeah.
And so when I saw, and you've made an aesthetic version, because there are unaesthetic versions online. I love the crystal one you just put out.
Yes, very aesthetic and very something that you can just leave hanging on your plants and it's not going to look like an obnoxious contraption hanging from it. Yes, the catch trays are such lifesavers. When I talk about making plant care easy, that is a huge one because I cannot express to you how much I would dread getting a big, long trailing plant down, lugging it over to my sink, tripping on the vines, or just playing the risky game of like watering it in place and putting a bucket under it or something. And gosh, just the catch trays, and they had to be aesthetic. I'm like, these need to be something that can just sit on, maybe you just want it on one particular plant forever. And it needs to look cute. And I think I nailed it with them and I'm super proud of them. And yeah, they're definitely my most used plant item are my catch trays.
Yeah. And if I was to order them, are they like in your house and you're like packaging it up them up and sending them?
Yes. I literally make them by hand. This is what's great. There's so much. Like when you ask, what is the future of Shady Gray Home? I'm like, there is so much I want to do, but I am literally doing everything on my own. I will say my husband helps me as well, but it is literally like when it comes to designing the merch, I do all of that. I create the inserts on the inside. I literally hand make the catch trays. I package them. I ship them out. So it's a lot that I'm doing at once. And I think that's kind of one thing I'm looking forward to when I do move to Iowa is having, I mean, I've just got so much family out there. So many, you know, nieces and nephews that are at that age where they would love to start working. And I'm like, yes, I am going to take all the help.
You give them a nice like $20 an hour, what's minimum wage, $15 an hour for your little nieces, you know, and nephews. Yes. I love that idea. That's amazing. Well, I'm so excited for everything you have in store. We'll link to everything. It's CH for everyone. You're funny because you're Shani Gray, but you're G-R-E-Y and then C-H. People might, you know, like with audio, you have to specify, but we'll make sure everything's linked.
Yes.
This was such a fun talk. So proud of you. So proud to know you for so long, friend.
Thank you.
Thanks for being a supporter of the podcast for so long.
I know. This is so full circle. This doesn't even feel real. Talking about things like, did we just really have this whole conversation?
We did, and you nailed it.
Gosh, this is real life. I'm so thankful that you asked me to come on the podcast. I can't wait to listen to it and share it with my family. And you know, I love you so much. And we're going to be talking all about this for a long time. I'm so proud to be on here with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Aww,
thanks, friend. What a fun conversation this was. Thank you so much, Chantel. You can go check her out at Channy Gray Home. So that's Channygray Home. She's such a sweetheart. And I'll never forget like DMing her furiously that day being like, do you want to meet me for a tour at the Botanical Garden? But also, can you shoot content for me? Like such chaos. And she was like, yeah. And she showed up and we had such a fun time. So it's been so fun seeing her meteoric rise. And her passion for plants. Dang, that girl knows how to care for plants. Her plants are in such beautiful condition, and she obviously has such a passion for it. And it was so fun to peek behind the curtain of her Instagram and grow a little deeper together. Make sure you grab my new download, The Ultimate Houseplant Pest Guide. It's going to help you identify with photos and then know how to eliminate your top 7 pests. So whether or not you have pests, download the guide because it'll be a resource for you when you get pests, right? And it'll just make it really simple. So I wish I had this download when I was first dealing with my first spider mites outbreak. Well, with that, my friends, I hope this episode was fun and I hope you go spend some time with your houseplants this week. And of course, keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey.
If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.